Shoshana is Yaakov Tala,
the Samech of the Rosam Yachad Chelis Mordechai.
Shu Osam Ayisala Netzach, Vesikvasam Echol Dor Vador. Lohodiyah Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu Vol Yikobel Anetzach Kol Achosim Bach.
And the rest, you know, Ar Haman, Bar Mordechai, Arur Azer, Shekol Kala Berikol Esther, Arur Kulashayim, Arur Kulashayim, Gan Karona, Zachor, Lato. This is familiar? This is familiar, right?
Yeah.
It says at the end of the Megillah, right? At the end of the Megillah. And it quotes from the famous song.
Sorry.
Right? Shoshanas Yaakov.
I want to start off with a question. I think this is very, very super fundamental. It says at the beginning of the Megillah in Perek Beis, right? Pasuk Beis, it says, Zachar es Vashti, Achashver, Zachar es Vashti, Vesasher asasa, and that which she did, Vesasher nigzar aleha. Okay? After his anger abates, Achashverosh remembers Vashti, okay, Vashir Asasa, and that which she did, Vashir Nigzar Aleha, and that which was Nigzar on her. Rashi says that he remembers how beautiful she was, right? So he misses that beauty, missed that beauty. What Ashir Asasa, that which she did, what does that have to do with price of eggs? Right? And what does it mean, Asher Nigzar Aleha? That was Nigzar? He was Gozer. Nigzar, right? It's Nifal. It happened to her. Right? Gozer, what he did. He was Gozer. And so actually one of the interesting points in the Megillah is that he had the koach to actually judge her, which was something new at that time. But whatever. Let's not get lost in the roundabouts. It's not Nigzar, Asher Gozer Aleha. Asher Gozer Aleha. Elamai says the Gra, Asher Asasa, is he remembered what she did. He used to take her Jewish maidservants and strip them naked and force them to work on Shabbat. Asher Nigzar Lea Min HaShamayim. He was no dope, Achashverosh. He was no dope. He understood. The Gemara actually talks about when Haman first comes to him, he says, you know, well, we got something to do with these Jews. And he says to them, no, I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid that their God is going to do to me what he's done to the ones before. To Paro, to Sisera, to all the rest of the Chevra Kadisha. Maybe he'll do the same thing to me. And Haman tells him, don't worry. Why? Yeshno am echad mefuzar umforad bein ha'amim. Say Chazal on Yeshno Am Echad, Sheyashnu min haMitzvos. They're asleep from the Mitzvos. Okay. We're going Yeshno Am Echad, right? They're asleep from the Mitzvos. They're asleep. Query.
What's the connection between him remembering Rashi with the Jewish
Mitzvos? That was he was aware. There's a Creator. He's aware. There's a God of the Jews. Right? And that was Nigzar on her. It was Nigzar on her. Not that he was Gozer. It happened in a Shemayim. He understood. He's no dope. And yet he's willing to sell the rights to Haman for Aseret Alfim Kikar Kesef, for 10,000 talents of silver, to destroy the Jews. What happened? So Chazal say, in the Gemara Megillah, yeah.
If he was so upset that she ended up dying, then why didn't he get mad at Haman for with his idea?
Haman, I can't go through the whole thing. Haman explained to him that he really had no brera. He had no brera, because she was mezalzel on him.
But he didn't have to raise Haman up.
He didn't have to?
Like, raise. First of all, he's the king. Doesn't he get to choose? And second of all, he didn't have to raise Haman up.
He raised Haman up, Lamaisa, Esther was chosen. He was so pleased with Esther. And the fact that as a result of Haman's Aitzes, he got rid of Vashti, who was a little uppity, or more than a little uppity. He got Esther, who's Bechlal not uppity. And in addition to that, he also now has the ability to judge by himself without having to depend on the other judges there, because that was the rule beforehand. Again, I don't want to get lost in the Megillah too much. But that was really cool. So he was pleased as punch with Haman. Right? So that's why he elevated him afterwards. So says Haman, Yeshno Mechad Mefuzar Meforad Ben Ami. Yeshno Amechad. Says the Gemara Megillah, Yeshno Amechad, Yashnu Min HaMitzvos. They're asleep from the mitzvos. They're asleep. They would record, even if they're doing them, they're doing them like dead wood. Sort of in the fashion that we've spoken about before, as long as we're in Shimon Esrei, right? Like the fashion for sort of like Sechazan, Uvnei, Yerushalayim, Miracles, Mirimeinu. Why am I benching, standing up? I guess because I wasn't focused, right? They're doing stuff like dead wood. Yeshnu, Yeshnu min haMitzvos. Mefuzar uMeforad bin haAmim, says the Tzaddik. So this one doesn't appear in the Gemara. We're pretty cold. Tzaddik says Mefuzar uMeforad haAmim. There's pirud bein haNeshamos. There's divisiveness. There's division amongst them. So therefore Achashverosh exceeds to Haman's request, right? He exceeds to Haman's request, and now the Jews' fate got been sealed. It appears that their fate is sealed. So now, what enables us, or I should say, what disables us, and turns us into an Am? Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad. What causes us to fall apart like that? This is not something that just shaykh to the Megillah. This is shaykh to us. What enables us to fall asleep at the switch? Yeshno am echad, yeshno min haMitzvos, which is what enabled Haman to convince Achashverosh that even though Achashverosh recognized the power of the king of the Jews, the God of the Jews, that nonetheless he wouldn't come forward for them. What disables us and transforms us into that? So if you go back to Parshas Bishalach, which is the first place that Amalek appears. I mean, appears in terms of attacking the Jewish people. Right? He's already gracious or whatever. But if you go back over there, it's really fascinating. Really fascinating. In the beginning of Bishalach, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, like when they receive the man. So there it says that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, in the evening, you'll see that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and in the morning, you'll see the Kvod Hashem. The Kvod Hashem. That's the Pasuk. Erev Yedatem, says Shmos Tes Zayin, Sukim Vavet Zayin. Erev Yedatem, Ki Hashem Otsi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Uboker, Uri'isem Es Kvod Hashem. Says the Ksav Sofer. What's the difference? Why is it in the evening you'll see that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim? And in the morning you'll see Kvod Hashem? Says the Ksav Sofer, because in the evening you receive the Slav. Like the birds. And everybody got it equally. In the morning, they received the man. And the reason the man was called the man, says the Sofer, is because one person took a bite and said, wow, prime rib. And the other one took a bite and said, wow, mountain trout. The third person took a bite and said, froyo. Right? And the next person took a bite and said this. And they turned and looked at each other and said, Manu, what is this? And that was the Kvod Hashem. Because then you saw that Hashem was Mashiach and every person Hashloch HaPratis. Exactly what you're feeling, exactly what you wanted. Incredible level Hashloch HaPratis. In the evening, the Slav came equally for everybody. Just like Yerushalayim will take out of Mitzrayim. En masse. all taken out of Mitzrayim. But in the morning, every single person, what you're looking for, what you're thinking about, what you, oh wow, if I could only have now, boom, you got it. Hashkacha Pratis. And that's the Kvod Hashem. The ultimate Kvod Hashem is, there's nothing too small for Hashem not to be involved with. Because it's all His will. Being what we call big or being what we call small, there's no difference. Absolutely different. B'mokam, like Chazal say, B'mokam shatamot say, Am v'sanuso, where you find Hashem's humility, dealing with the most, what we would consider the most picayune things, Shama tamot zegdulaso, there you see His real greatness, because there's nothing too small. Because everything is His will. He wills, therefore we be. Not we think, therefore we are. He wills, therefore we be. That being the case, that clarity they had in the beginning, in Perek Tzadayim, in Shmos, in Beshalach, how did they get to Perek Yud Tzadayim, in Shmos? Hayesh Hashem v'kirbeinu imayim. Is Hashem really in us, with us? Hello? Friends, what's the story? How did they get from that? How did they get from a recognition of Kvod Hashem? Is it prime rib? Is it mountain trout? Is it froyo? Right? He's in our kishkis. To Hayesh Hashem bekebeinim ayin? Reason is because where were they up to? They were up to Rafidim. Rafidim. Rafu Yedeim in the Torah. It wasn't vibrant for them. Or they didn't make it vibrant. Or they didn't keep it vibrant. Perhaps that's the best way to say it. They didn't keep it vibrant. In order to keep a person's worldview clear, one needs to keep one's connection to Torah mitzvahs vibrant. It can't be sort of like hop flop, as they say in Latin. Yeah? It's not bad. Yeah? It can't be hop flop. It can't be, yeah, okay. Did you make a brach on that? Oh, gosh. I probably didn't. I remember. I'll make one up. That's called expectorating a brach. I'm mocking myself. I'm not mocking you. Okay? So I'll take it to heart. Well, I'll take it to heart. But I am talking to myself. If you don't keep it vibrant, if you don't keep it vibrant, then Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu imayim. From seeing Kvod Hashem boker isim as Kvod Hashem to Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu imayim. Why? Because Rafidim, Rafu Yudim in the Torah. Yitzchak Blazer, when the Talmidim, great Talmidim, Rishon Salanter, asked the question. It's a rhetorical question, but it's really such a pointed question. It says, I mean, it doesn't quite say with this terminology, I'll be a little bit more colorful. How is it? Let's say we had 100,000 bottles of Coca-Cola on the table. And we're about to drink out of one of those bottles, 100,000 bottles. And someone comes in and says, you know, I just heard from my neighbor's Cocker Spaniel, who heard from their neighbors and Sadie's cockatoo that there might be arsenic in one of those bottles. Okay, so my case is a little absurd. Yeah, but there might be arsenic in one of those bottles. Would we drink it? Why take a chance? For a crummy bottle of Coke? Take a chance? One out of 100,000 chances, but still, and even that one out of 100,000 chances is only just hearsay that we heard from a cocker spaniel, heard from a cockatoo. Really? We wouldn't drink it. Are you crazy? Why take a chance? So now, he asks, we all believe we have the capacity to dial Kiddush Hashem. And we know it. We've seen Jews do it. Right? We've seen Jews do it. Not like Pasha Jews. Jews were poshim. Jews were sinners. Jews were mafiosos.
In Krakow, I remember pretty often the story of a Jew that gathered with Jews together in the shul to spit upon the Torah, the Germans in Machshama, to spit upon the Torah, say because it was all laid out on the floor, spit on it. And the guy was the Jewish mafioso. He said, I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but I never spat on a Torah. Go ahead. He ripped open his shirt and shot him dead right there. What's that? Elamai. It's inside of us. And the moment of Shema fans the flames that are as embers inside of us, sometimes covered over with layers and layers and layers of silt. Right? But the moment of Kiddush Hashem fans it, it's all that. Of course, it's a question. Kill me. They did. But in regular day life, that's why we don't have the capacity, he says. Is that, why don't we have the capacity? We're willing to die on Kiddush Hashem. We don't have the capacity to keep ourselves from being over in a Avera. The one out of 100,000 possibilities, chances, that the strychnine in a bottle of Coke, and we won't drink it, right? Why take a chance? We're sure enough that we'd be willing to die on Kiddush Hashem. To die! No chances. Boom! To die on Kiddush Hashem. And yet, on an everyday basis, we can't keep ourselves from being over Averas. Living Nayim. Or being Mekayim Mitzvos properly. Living Nayim. Elamai, what you see is real. So the Shach Hashmat comes, and the fires of the soul, right, are ignited. So you see reality. You see reality. But during everyday affairs, we're numbed by life. We don't see it. We don't see it. The only chance we have to keep it from numbing us, from being numbed, is for us to be aware. And the way to stay aware is the opposite of refidim, of rafi yadayim min haTorah and mitzvos. That to create an ambience, they don't have to become, you know, like, you don't have to be out to lunch, not coming back for supper. I do remember in my early days in yeshiva, where I was slightly beyond the world of fruit loops, right? And I remember it says in the Mishnah Berurah, you should run to davening. Oh, I run to davening. Woo! Look out! I was careening down the hallway, right? I was running so fast from the dormitory to where he falls to the base measures. Mom is careening down the hallway. Numb ourselves. We numb ourselves in all different types of ways. Really. We numb ourselves in all different types of ways. We live in two worlds. We live a schizoid existence. We live in the real world. What's the real world? The real world is the real world. The real world. I don't know. What I ate for lunch yesterday, and where I'm planning to go on vacation afterwards, and my flights here and my flights there, and where am I going to go shopping, what am I going to do shopping, what is, etc. Now, I'm not saying you can't do all these things. You can do all these things. But when that becomes the locus, focus of your life, and when you then you have a second, it's like it's ki'ilu, we have a wife, right? Go on, and a mistress, right? It's two things.
you live the regular life, and then there's also some Torah stuff, too. We do that also. It gets numb. It gets numb. Look at the difference between way we perceive. If we didn't have the Megillah's Esther, instead we heard the reports from CNN, Yimach Shemo, right? If we heard the reports from CNN about what was happening in Persia at that time, right? So what would they tell us? They'd interpret it all for us. Esther was drop-dead gorgeous, right? Mordechai was a crafty politician. And Ahasuerus and Haman didn't have a chance. That's what would come out of it. We're numbed. We numb ourselves. We have to keep things vibrant as best we can, without being crazy, but vibrant, vibrant. Do mitzvot, life. Have one center to our life, one center. A God-centered universe, not a double-centered universe. A God-centered universe. Again, we're always drawn, but it's a struggle. We have to struggle. The paragraph started off, Shoshanas Yaakov. Why Shoshana? So the Medrash uses two different motifs for the concept of Shoshana. One is, talks about creation of the world, and one talks about Klal Yisrael within Klal Yisrael. In the creation of the world, Klal Yisrael is called a Shoshana. Ki Shoshana bin Achochim. Klal Yisrael is considered a Shoshana. And it says, Mashalom Adam Verdoma, what is it comparable to? To a king who planted an exquisite orchard. Right? An exquisite orchard. With rows of pomegranate trees and date palms, figs, olives, exquisite. And he gave it over to some sharecroppers to watch it, to work it. And he comes back a while later, the thing is filled with thorns and thistles, briars, brambles. He says, we're going to burn the whole place down. Start all over again. And then he sees one rose. He walks over to the rose and he smells its fragrance. He says, it's exquisite. For the rose, we'll save the orchard. We'll fix it. We won't burn it down. And the Nimshal, the Boreal, creates the world. And then Adam does what he does. And then the kind of heaven will do what they do. And then the door of Enosh does what it does, and the fruit of the world is washed away. And the door of Mabel does what they do, and the whole world is washed away. Until finally, a rose appears on the horizon. The rose's name is Avraham. And that's why it says in Parshas Bereishis, the angel told us to Shamayim Ba'aretz, Behi Bar'am. Behi Bar'am, say Chazal, Osios Avraham. Avraham's the rose. The Jewish people are the rose. But it's not just the Jewish people. Because the pasuk also says, and this is another motif that's used by what called a medrash. It says, "Lamnatzeach al Shoshanim levnei Korach." The Bnei Korach were called Shoshanim. Why? Because they did tshuva. They were living a life with their father of rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, a life of thorns and thistles, briars and brambles, and all of a sudden, they took heart and they said, Moshe is coming in, no one's standing up for him. We can't do that. And they stood up, and as they stood up, the ground opened up and swallowed up the Eda Korah. Some were burnt, some were swallowed up, some were resulted of both. Being burnt up and swallowed up. And they were suspended between Shemayim Baharat. Shoshanim, Shoshanim, the Bnei Korach. They called Shoshanim. What?
Can you repeat the
pasuk? Lamnatzeach. Pasuk is, I'll tell you where it is, in Tilin Mem Hei. Lamnatzeach. Lamnatzeach.
with what? Al Shoshanim.
Esa Shoshana. How do we do the tshuva? So remember, Gemara says, the Golly of Yadul, the same Misha Amar Bahaya Olam, it was known and revealed, the same Misha Amar Bahaya Olam, before the one who said, let the world be. Sha'asid Haman Lishkol Eshkalav, that Haman one day would come and measure out 10,000 talents of silver to buy the right to destroy the Jewish people from Achashverosh. Hikdim Shkaleim Lishkalav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maktim, our shkalim, to his shkalim. How so? Because there's a mitzvah of maktis ha-shekel. Right? Mitzvah of maktis ha-shekel. Half a shekel. And that's always announced, Rosh Chodesh Adar, to remind the Jewish people that they have to start bringing the maktis ha-shekel to buy the new korbanos for the upcoming year, starting in Chodesh Nisan. And the Mefarshim asked the question, why is it a machzah shekel? Why not a whole shekel? And the two answers. The Or Chaim HaKadosh gives one answer. He says, a Jew gives a half a shekel because he has to know that his other half is Tachas Kisei HaKadosh. I'm not whole. By virtue of what stares back at me from the mirror, I am not whole. The other half of me, right? The Malbim says the reason it's a half a shekel. It's a half a shekel. Why? Because every Jew has to recognize that he's not whole without another Jew. This doesn't mean we have to want to spend, as I've mentioned some of you before, that we have to want to spend 24/7 with every other person. But to value them, to realize that they, with their glitches, with their strengths, with their weaknesses, with the things that even annoy us, but they're here for a reason, that the Kol Hashem, the voice of Hashem, should resonate through them, that the light of Hashem's presence should be refracted through them, with their glitches. They bring unique light to the world, and all of us need each other, because there's no way we can each alone do the job, only together. The Torah says, on the pasuk, Na'aseh, not Na'aseh v'nishma, Na'aseh, between all of us, the job of the Torah will get done. So the two halves, the two approaches to the half shekel, the other half a shekel being Tachas Kisei HaKavod, the other half a shekel being with another Jew. That's the framework, that's the background, that's the foundation of tikkun for Yeshno Am Echad. They're asleep, they're not focused, they're in La La Land, right? They're living in a dream world. They're attached at the hip to their phones. Yesh Noam Echad. And the Fuzar and the Furad, there's peeling between them. Two approaches to the half shekel points are the beginnings, right? Those are the foundations upon what Mordechai did to rectify the situation. Say Chazal, Mordechai is referred to as Mordechai Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini. Say Chazal, Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. Why? Why do we need to know all this? Sechazal, the remnants, There's a remez here, not just a statement of his lineage. He's Ben Yair, Sheheir, Enayim, Shel Yisrael, the Torah. He caused him to see the rule in the light of the Torah once again. Yidden, Jews, wake up! Wake up! Heir Enayim. Heir Enayim, the Torah. Ben Shim'i. He shmir tfilos on the fnekise akavod. He caused their tfilos, and again, daven! Daven like it means something. Daven like it's real. Daven as you stand before the Creator. Have kivui. Have hope. Put your trust. Kavei el Hashem. Chazak tfiya meitzidecha. Kavei el Hashem. Daven, don't give up. Keep on davening. He shmir tfiloseim, fnekise akavod. Ben Kish, Kish says the Gemara, Shehei Kish al dalse harachamim. He banged on the doors of rachamim. Says Rav Avram ben Agra, what does that mean? He banged on the doors of rachamim. He says there are two doors. One is the door to rachamim in the heavens. And then there's another door. It's the door between our hearts towards one another. He says when you open up the door of the heart between each one of us to one another, when you pull that open, it attaches to a rope that pulls open the door of Rachamim and Shamayim. So Mordechai built upon the foundation of what Hashem supplied him with. Galuli v'yaduach, v'snimisha amar v'haya olam. The Rebbe Shalom knew sh'asid haman l'shkola shkola. Haman one day would pay those 10,000 talents of silver to buy the right to destroy us. Why? Because he knew he could be successful. And he convinced Achashverus that they would be successful. Why? Because Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurad Bin Amim. They're asleep. They're not focused. They do their mitzvahs Hanoshim Lumad, they do them by rote. They do them by rote. Asleep at the switch. And as for the connection to one another, they're not really connected. Mufuzar and Mufurad, there's period between them. Even when there's no sinner, sin is obviously the worst thing. But we write people off like nothing. It's not a lot of fun to be with. Oh, man. Who needs her? Right? She's not cool. She's not this, she's not that. So like, who really needs her? I'm not against her. There's nothing bad about her. Right? Or if she runs us the wrong way, then we're really in trouble. She rubbed me the wrong way. Well, you're really a jerk. Period between the neshamas. He said, Mordechai, we ain't getting out of this so fast. It's signed in heaven. It may be signed in clay, as opposed to signed in blood, but it's signed in heaven. Our gooses are cooked. We've got to pull back together again. Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ishimini. So now, Shoshanas Yaakov, Sahala Vesamecha, the rose of Yaakov, we're doing tshuva. Just like Bnei Korach. We're rose. We're rising up out of the world of thorns and thistles. We're going to cause the fragrance to come from us again. We'll take it seriously. Shoshana Sakov, Tzahala. Tzahala is what it is, jubilation. Yes! Yes to life! Vesamecha, that's translated into the simcha that remains with us all the time. Can't walk on going yet, walking down the corridor, but yes, yes! I mean, some of us do, but then again, people think strange thoughts about that, right? The Samecha, Simcha. We talked about Simcha before. Simcha, in the Gemara in Sukkah, it talks about two different types of hand rests, right? One hand rest is called the Tefach Sameach. The fingers are separated. The hand rest is a measurement. But there's a Tefach Sameach, and there's a Tefach Upsay. Tefach Sameach, Sochim. Half or a laughing hand rest, the Shoshanas Yaakov, pulled it together under the leadership, right, Mordechai and Esther, Mesiris Nefesh, Shoshanas Yaakov, Sahala, Samecha, Birosam Yachad, Achtos, Cheles Mordechai. Why the Cheles of Mordechai? The Tzitzit says on the Tcheles, that the significance, I should say, the imagery of the Tcheles, of the one strand of Tcheles being wound around the seven strands of Lavan, is that the Lavan is our everyday things that we do in life, right? Etc. Butcher, baker, candlestick maker. It doesn't have to be where you're sitting in Kol Chazanish for the last 55 years, right? Whatever you're doing, and the Tcheles is wrapped around it. And the Tcheles is the color, Chazal tell us, the Gisei HaKol. The Tcheles is the color. To remember that every action, every interaction, every object, and every experience, be it pleasant or good, Hashem should always spare us, be it difficult, right? That we encounter, it all goes back to the Gisei HaKol. The seven strands of life wrapped around the Tcheles, call it the Gisei HaKol. Back upstairs. That's what the Tzitzit says on Tcheles. The Kli Yakar, when he talks about Tcheles, he talks about the Chazal. The Chazal say that the color of Tcheles is unique. You say, Chazal, why? Because the Tcheles reminds us of the sea, the color of the sea, and the color of the sea reminds us of the color of the sky, and the color of the sky reminds us of the Kisei Kavod. So it's a little bit circular, wouldn't you say? You want to scratch his ear? Just like this. It's not, you know. If the color of the Tcheles is the color of Kisei Kavod, let's get to it. One. Why is the Talmud telling you, no, the color of the Tcheles is the color of the sea. The sea is the color of the sky. The sky is the color of Kisei Kavod. If this were Dickens, it would be a question. Why couldn't he got paid by the word? But why does Chazal tell that to us? It says the Kli Yakar. Because he's telling us a methodology. Just like the Tzitzit said, it's teaching us that over the actions that we're involved in every day, a cognizance of Hashem's Hashgacha, that's the Tzitzit's symbolism, let's translate it conceptually, that the Tcheles wrapped around all the white strands, everything of our everyday, mundane, corporeal life, etc. It's got the Tcheles wrapped around, it all goes back to Hashem. Make sure you're doing it L'Shem Shamayim. Once again, be you butcher, baker, candlestick maker, but remember it's going back towards the Kisei HaKavod. But the Kli Yakar says, it's teaching a methodology in Avodas Hashem. A methodology. What's the methodology? Does the Yam, does Hashem's will out of Yira? Out of Yira, right? He brings Tzukim, etc. If you want, think of the Dover Cliffs, what do you call the name of people who know what they're saying, as the waves crash against it. It wants to go where it's not supposed to go, but it's forced to stop. The sky, right? The celestial sphere, the smoothness, the elegance, as we watch, the celestial orbs, the signs of the zodiac traveling across the canopy of the sky. Smeichim b'tzeisim b'sasim b'voam. It does Hashem's avoda v'ahava. He says, the Tcheles is meant to teach us the methodology. We have to know that we have to be a kind of mitzvah. It's an imperative. It's not like I'm in the moon, I'm not in the moon. It's an imperative. Do it in the year. If you do it in the Yira, then you'll be able to do it in the Akava. If you know you have to do it, because that's what the Creator says, and the Creator gives you life. The Creator gives you existence, and He gives reality existence. You have to do it. Then you'll taste the sweetness of it afterwards. You'll do it in the Akava. And when you reach the Kisei HaKavod. So Hashem has pointed out such a fascinating thing in the Parshas Chukas. What's such a fascinating thing? He says, in the outside world, what causes a person to do something? To repeat an action, to do it over and again. It's the sensation of pleasure that he gets from that act. As he senses and he enjoys the pleasure, that causes him to do the act again, and the act again, and the act again, right? Because he remembers the pleasure associated with it. Like Hull's rats or Pavlov's dogs, right? But in Torah, since you have to lift yourself up, you have to get to, right, escape velocity, not to be tied down exclusively by the mores and by the world views of Olam Hazeh, you have to do the act, and then you begin to taste it. This world, right, acts are done because we associate the pleasure that we derive from it before. But in the Olam Ha'emes, in the world of Torah, you do it and then you taste it. You do it and then you taste it. For Zira and Ava and the Gisei Kov. Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzaholav Zamecha, they're Osam Yachad. Tchelis Mordechai, Yachad, Achdus, got to put ourselves back together with one another, right? That's why there's Matanos Levyonim, that's why there's Mishloach Monos and Purim. Tchelis Mordechai, and they saw both the methodology of Tahor's Hashem, Yachar's version of them saying Tchelis, Yira to Ava, Ava to Kisei Kavod, and the Emuna, Hashem's Hashgacha. The way the Nesiv explained it to us. Shu'asam ha'yisal ha'netzach. Your Yeshua of the Jewish people is for eternity. Perush, what does that mean? Shu'asam ha'yisal ha'netzach. Really? I mean, it didn't last. I mean, we're not going to last. I mean, we don't say halal. One of the reasons we don't say halal on Purim is because we still remain avodim to Achashverosh. And after Achashverosh, the empire, the Persians, the Medes pushed off the face of the map of history. So the Greeks took over, and we were the Aryans. And after the Greeks, and the Romans. And the fourth one, Roman Western civilization, that culture, we're still underneath its heel. 80 years ago, we're underneath the heel of the jackboot, right? We were burning to the crematorium. And now, there's no jackboot on our heads, but they're still burning up our souls. We who are devout, we burn our souls a little bit. Those who are more ignorant, or even not so ignorant, right, Claude? Intermarry. They're still on top of us. So what do they mean, Shuasama Yisla Netzach? The Gemara Bracha says that La'asig Lavo, right? In the future, when the Gula Asida comes, Yitzias Mitzrayim will be Batel. No more Pesach, no more Shavuos, no more Sukkos. No. It says, Rosh Hashanah Leva Alkabet, it doesn't mean that. It means it will be Batel the Shishi. In other words, the miracles of the Gula Asida, of the future Gula, will be so incredibly phantasmagoric that which we experienced in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Esther Makos, Kriyas Yamtov, all of that will, as it were, be Batel the Shishi, says the Manos Levi, Rosh Hashanah Leva Alkabet. You bottle the shishim. Just like you have a drop of milk and you drop it into your fleshic chalent. Shishim, it's batel. So it'll still be there, but it'll be batel compared to the future nesim. But not Purim. Purim won't be batel. What's that? Purim won't be batel. I don't understand. If the phantasmagoric signs and light show that we call the Exodus, we bought them compared
to the experience of Asid Lavo, of the future, then how can Purim, where Hashem's name doesn't even appear in the Megillah? It doesn't even appear in the Megillah. We've already said that CNN, if they'd written it, God forbid, heaven forbid, patch the shoelaces. Yeah? If they'd written it, their version of the story wouldn't have anything to do with Hashgacha. It would have to do with looks and wits. Ella, you know why it won't be Batel? Because if you remember the Ramban at the end of Bo, the Ramban at the end of Bo tells us that the purpose, the tachlis, the goal of all the nisim gluyim, of all the revealed miracles that we experience in this time, is to teach us that every moment of our lives, because we're Jews who have Torah, a nisim nisarim. Everything in the world is God's will. Hateva, we probably mentioned before, Hateva is Gematria Elokim, with a hey, not a kuf, 86. Everything is God's will. There's nothing that's not God's will. In fact, this table feels like that. In fact, my hand hurts now, right? Right? It's all because that's why Hashem designed the world. It's His will. Everything is will. Air, the green chlorophyll, the wetting water, the leaves outside, etc., 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 etc. It's all His will. There's nothing that's not His will. The Jewish people march to the beat of a different drummer. The Jewish people march to the beat of Torah, and because of that, they are zocha to an intense hashgacha pratis. An intense, intense hashgacha pratis. So that's what the Ramban says, the goal of Mitzrayim, and all the nisim gluyim, was to make us aware that we are living nisim nisarim all the time. Because there's no reason why my destiny should be shaped by mitzvahs that I do in the world of Teva. In the world of Teva, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's the rule of the jungle. The survival of the fittest. As Darwin and his finches. Right? But in our world, mitzvahs shape our destiny. That was Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it says Chuasa Mayisa Lanetzach, it's telling us that the Gula Asiya will be born out of the lessons that we learn from Purim. That in spite of how the CNN would describe, yeah, the events that took place there, what we know is Hashgachas Hashem. We all know it's a function of Tshuva. We know it's a function of Tefillah. We know it's because we were willing to receive the lessons of Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Shimi as he built upon, right, the mitzvah of Hamasna Shekel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to launch our preemptive strike so we shouldn't be destroyed by the 10,000 talents of Haman's silver. Because the Gula Asiya is going to emanate from the way that we deal with this dark, dark world. Again, the darkness comes in all different fashions, right? The darkness of 80 years ago was one form. The darkness we live in today is a different form. It's all darkness. It's all darkness. But if we're made aware, so since the Gula Asiya will emerge, that's why Purim and the Megillah will never be batel. This halach and shulchan aruch, this is batel v'cholach, hilah zavar on maimed. If you use, let's say, an unkosher enzyme, right, to generate cheese, for instance. So even though the cheese that you've generated through that unkosher enzyme is way more than 60, 100, 200, 1,000, it's not batel. Why? Because it was generated out of this non-kosher source. On the flip side, because the Gula Asiya, with all of its incredibly revealed miracles, will emanate from the way that we deal with our lives as we walk down the corridor,
Ha'am ha'olchim b'choshech ro'or godol. The nation that walks through the corridor of darkness, the end will see a great light, since it emanates from the way that we relate to, the way we deal, the way we function, the way we behave, the way we believe, the way we daven, the way we are mekayim avas Israel and limud haTorah, tefillah. Out of the darkness, that gives rise. It's the davar ha'maimed. It generates the gula sfida. That's why it can't be batel. It can't be batel. Today, the time is Esther, right? Today is the beginning of our 3-day Purim encounter. It's a time of unusual koach hatfilah these days. Always, right? No koach hatfilah. But these days in particular. We shouldn't have the lessons of Purim just wash over us and say, wow, those are pretty sweet memories. Just like we said, the Gabi Shimon Esrei. The goal of Shimon Esrei is not just to have a great feeling and then let's go back to normalcy. The goal, the aspired, the hoped for goal of a Shimon Esrei is that I should be a transformed person post the Shimon Esrei. So do we should be transformed people post the Purim. Shuasam ayisla netzach, sikvasam the choldor bador. Kivui is essence of tefillah. The choldor bador. Parshas v'shalach. L'chama kiyad al kiska, l'chama l'ashem v'amalei yivdor bador. Generation to generation. One generation with its challenges, the next generation with its challenges, always in the darkness, until we reach the fulfillment of Chuasam Yisla Netzach. Until that time, it has to be Sikvasam the Choldor Vador. Kivui, places our hope, our trust in Hashem. Tadavan. Tadavan like means something. As best as we can. And certainly not to add to our distractions. We're distracted enough to add to them. To turn our focus away from either Torah or Tefillah. In order to check the next distraction. Such an avla. It's Yeshno Machad. It's taking a sleeping pill of a spiritual sleeping pill. Rambam says in his Minyan Mitzvos in the Yad Chazaka that the Yomim Tovim, Rabbanan, Purim, etc. are meant to teach us a fundamental lesson. What is it in Dvarim? Zal Zayin. It says, "Kimi goy gadol, asher lo elokim krovim ilah." Who is there in another nation that their God is close to them? Right? Kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu ilav. Tefillah, Hashem is close to us. We should understand how they got into that mess. We should understand how they got out of that mess. We should understand and act upon to make sure that we don't throw ourselves into another mess. And au contraire, we should deal with life and deal with the Creator and deal with one another in a way that we should serve as the davar ha'maimed, as the gula sida, the merim yameinu. Amen.